Welcome to the Listen to This podcast. This is Cliff and Sharon. Every week we share some of the most ridiculous, some of the funny, some of the emotional stories we covered on our radio show.
And so right now, here's five of the stories we covered. We hope you enjoy them.
Listen up, everybody.
I'm all ears.
Listen. Oh, my God.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
I don't believe this.
You know, we've invented all kinds of kind of cool ways, you know, to cook food. There's deep-fried turkey. There's the whole turducken thing, which I still haven't tried.
Oh, you haven't? Or you've got to try a turducken.
This is the first, I think, I've ever heard of this, and I'm sure the firefighters in Tennessee are going, what the heck were you thinking, cooking a bird in your bathtub? Well, actually, it's a bird. It was brisket.
A brisket.
A brisket in the bathtub.
Yeah, this woman actually caused this big old fire because she was trying to barbecue a brisket in her bathtub.
I can't
Seriously.
Even...
Seriously.
Was it raining outside?
I don't know.
The thought process to put the barbecue into the bathtub?
My God. Well, the woman... What she did was she lit a wood-burning grill inside of her bathtub and then put the meat on a wire rack across the rim, but then the heat melted through the tub's fiberglass exterior.
Yeah.
And so the tragedy of it actually is not only the tub, but the brisket ended up being a total loss. She had to call the fire department out there. When they got there, she was like fanning the flames from her apartment, and it all came from her trying... in a way, if you've got a cast iron tub, that would probably work.
I guess, but I still can't fathom the reason to think that's put the barbecue in the bathtub.
She might live in an apartment or something and not, you know, a lot of apartments won't let you have the barbecue or the grill on the balcony because it's too small. So she was just thinking outside the box. Oh, my God.
What a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Oh,
to lose a great brisket like that. That's a tragedy.
Listen
to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
They say the universal language is love, but once love goes away and you just have to maintain your relationship, communication is really the key to success.
Wait a minute. When love goes away and you have to maintain your relationship.
When the honeymoon is over.
Yes, but love hasn't gone away. I mean, the bloom of the fresh romance may have lost its shine, but the love hasn't gone away.
You know what? You articulated that way better. When the bloom off the thing fades or falls.
And the petals drop to the ground and wither and die and become compost and all of that.
We still have to communicate between a man and woman, between your partner, woman to woman, man to man. You've got to find a way to communicate, right?
You do. But there's things that men say that drive us women absolutely batty. And in fact, the Huffington Post asked a bunch of couples therapists for the most common things that men say that make women angry. And here's the top five. And I would say this is the number one thing. Calm down.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't you tell me to calm down.
Yeah.
It's the worst way to try and calm someone down because it doesn't work. And it's like saying they're overreacting and that their feelings in that moment aren't valid. Don't tell somebody to calm down. That's horrible.
How about, I think I've done this. Do you really need to buy that?
Puts us on defensive, and we don't like being on the defensive. And if we've just bought something, we're probably excited about it.
Yeah.
So unless you expect us to return it, you're better off having a bigger discussion about finances later on. But not in that moment. Did you really need to buy that?
Here's a conversation I actually had with Lisa one day when she came home. Hey, I just got a great sale on all this stuff. Look how much money I saved. And I said, you would have saved more if you didn't spend any.
You didn't get any that night, did you?
that lasted for about a week.
Here's the other things that drive us crazy. Why are you upset? That wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
I'll do it, just stop nagging, because that's trying to shift the blame and make it seem like we're being unreasonable. And don't ever compare us to an ex either.
Oh, my God.
You shouldn't even need to say that. But unless you're just telling us how much better we are than your ex, and go knock yourself out, we're always happy to hear that.
Is this a guy thing? Because Lisa will have an issue with me when I used to do this. She'll say, how was your day today? And I'll say, good.
Yeah.
Right.
What does that mean?
Okay, so that's the conversation. Well, it was good. I don't really have a whole lot to say other than the fact that it was, I had a good day. And more.
Well, let me ask you this then.
Okay.
If Grace came home from school and you said to her, how was your day? And she said, good. Wouldn't you press her for a little more?
Exactly. Exactly.
See?
And you know, learning that was probably one of the biggest communication skills of my relationship. Is it's good because I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And by the way, I felt this, and this made me feel this way. And let me ask you this question about that. And all of a sudden, magically, it turns into a conversation.
And you never know where that might lead, Cliff, do you?
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon. The other side of the news.
Well, from George Washington to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, political leaders everywhere can always be counted on to say funny and nonsensical and sometimes downright stupid things. But in his new book, Jesse Ventura shares the most entertaining and disturbing thoughts, quote unquote, from his political brethren. Jesse Ventura joins us now. Jesse, welcome to the Cliff and Sharon Show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, tell us about this new book. Give us the dirt.
Well, I guess on the air I have to say crap politicians say, but on the book cover we have SH with this little insignia T,
nice.
Politicians say, but it translates to crap politicians say, and it's a fun book because it's an easy read. It's quotes and different scenarios and things that have been said. It's the dumbest things that our leaders have ever uttered. Or the funniest things, and it's pretty, we go all the way back to the founding fathers, and some of the quotes you're going to read are just remarkable.
Wow. So, Jesse, how did you go about actually putting it all together?
Well, my publisher, Tony Lyons, and I, we were out in New York, I don't know how long ago it was even, and we were talking, and it just popped up. We said, you know, we should put a book out this coming, you know, July of 2016, right when the elections and the conventions are going to happen, and do a book on, let's find all the most bizarre quotes we can of people who have been elected or sought public office, and that's what we do in the book.
Huh. Got it. So how do you compare today's politicians to the earlier ones?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, in today's day and age, and I go into that in the book, it's difficult for them because anything that they say today with the technology we have and the age we live in is going to be heard and it's going to be recorded. So literally almost 24/7, you got to be on your toes. Well, that's virtually impossible. You're going to slip up at some point.
Yeah.
And so today is more difficult than ever. But I have to commend, we didn't have a whole lot of bad quotes from President Obama, and we tried to find them. And he really has been pretty good about not saying stupid things.
Wow. We're talking with Jesse Ventura about his new book. Jesse, I imagine people like Dan Quayle and Sarah Palin show up a lot.
Oh, yeah. Dan Quayle's big. Sarah Palin. You got unbelievable resources there. George W. Bush, the kid. Oh, I still, his quote, I'll tell you the one of his quote that'll stick with me forever. I remember when he was selling us the trumped-up Iraq war, and it was that he announced we were going back after they gave us all this BS about why we should. And he was leaving the podium, and the last reporter asked him, "Did you consult your father?" Meaning Bush Senior, and Bush turned back around and smiled, said, "No, I consulted a higher father." I almost fell out of my chair.
Wow.
I thought, this guy wants me to believe that God told him to invade Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, does he really expect us to believe that? I said to myself, I've been on the planet over 50 years. I'm twice the man he is, and God ain't never said one word to me.
Jesse, before we let you go, how do you feel about the upcoming election?
Well, let me first categorize that I don't vote for the major parties. I never have and never will. I will be casting my vote proudly for Governor Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party. He's on the ballot in all 50 states. And I urge people to demand that he be put in the debates. You got two candidates here that their negatives are over 50%. Nobody likes either one of them. Well, there's a third choice, Gary Johnson, the former New Mexico governor.
Hmm.
Jesse, listen, we appreciate you being on the show. Good luck with the book, and thanks for being here.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a great day.
Jesse Ventura and Kaka, politicians say, that's my word, not his, the funniest, dumbest, most outrageous things ever uttered by our leaders. Jesse Ventura on the show, Cliff and Sharon.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
All these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed.
Have you ever had that noisy neighbor? Maybe it's the music that's too loud. Maybe it's the parties too late on Friday night. Can you imagine calling revving something?
Yeah.
Can you imagine calling the police because your neighbor's sex life is too loud?
That's horrible. Listen, I back in my early days, I was sharing a flat, a unit with a girlfriend, and she was dating this guy, and I'm not joking, they were noisy. There is nothing worse than hearing two people having noisy hummina, hummina, hummina when you're all by your lonesome. It's kind of depressing. It is just horrible. And I would say to her, Michelle, could you keep it down? And she'd be like, oh, sorry, Shaz. She called me Shaz. Sorry, Shaz. And then completely forget. Well, but I never called the cops on her because she's my housemate. She's my friend and everything. But this chick in Pennsylvania is free up to actually spending time behind bars for being too loud.
Can
in that
you imagine
respect.
Being sent to jail because you're
right?
so loud?
Right?
How loud does it have to be?
You're going to be popular with Big Bertha once you're behind bars there, aren't you? If you're kind of the noisy type. Oh, she likes it noisy. All right, whatever.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, it was so loud, it was making the bed and the dresser in her neighbor's house shake. I mean, how loud?
Oh, my God.
I mean, because we're not talking about... We're talking about vocalizing, making someone else's furniture rattle. How is that? I mean, I've heard of opera singers making glasses break and things, but... Golly, I mean, that's. I think the most complaining came because there was no video to accompany the noise,
there
but
you
that's
go.
Just me.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen to this
with Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay, follow me on this now. I don't know if you've caught VH1's Naked Dating. This is where they bring total strangers together on a blind date without any clothes on.
I kind of... Why would you do that? I mean, first of all...
Well, there's a naked survivor. I don't know if you've caught that version. I think it's on Discovery or something.
Yeah, look, I don't understand why everybody wants to get naked all of a sudden. I think if you're on a date, don't you want to leave something to the imagination? Don't you want to... Why do you want to reveal everything at once? Why would you want to do that?
Thank you. I think you're absolutely right. But
the
concept could be sound in the political arena when you think about it, right?
How so?
Well, if Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton did the same thing when they meet for the first time and debate, I think that concept would be interesting.
Like naked debating.
Naked debating.
I wonder how that would go.
From the producers of VH1's hottest reality show, the presidential candidates face off with their clothes off on Debating Naked. Ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Get an eye full, people. It's my birthday pantsuit.
Looks like it needs to be ironed. Disgusting.
Voters will finally see the naked political truth.
People say if my hands are small, something else must be small. I guarantee you there's no problem, okay?
Then why don't you step out from behind the podium?
Next question.
I'll give my opponent credit for one thing. His carpet looks like his drapes.
Oh, yeah? Well, Hillary's got two things sagging lower than her poll numbers, okay?
Debating Naked.
No fair. Hillary's got a much bigger rebuttal than I have.
You call yourself a conservative? Then why are you constantly bending left?
Oh.
I would watch that.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes.
This has been a Bytes.com production.